skin off. Oh, look at that pass. Header. Goal. Columbus.
Delarayan. It's in. Delarayan. Columbus takes the lead.
Back post. Cucho. And then Ramirez has done it.
Impossible is an opinion.
How do we intro this episode? Or at least it will be this weekend.
It is, yes. You're correct. It is.
Wait a minute. I just don't know a dang thing about Hell is Real. Do you think you could do some enlightening this episode?
John, this is never we intro. We never do it like this.
What do you mean? This is how we've done it every time.
It's literally not. Okay.
Do you want me to try again? Do you want to do a new one?
Yeah. Go ahead and go ahead, do a take two.
All right. What are you looking for this time? Give me a prompt.
Just, I'm looking for what we do most of the time, which is we talk about what we're going to talk about in the show.
All right. So just sort of talk normally about it.
Yeah. Talk about the podcast that we're going to do.
Skin off goal. Look at that pass. Hey, Doc. Goal. Columbus.
Delarayan. It's in. Delarayan.
Well, jeez, Wayman. Me cup runneth over with soccer facts, and I'm hoping to get some new ones about the legendary challenge that the crew faces at Hell is Real.
Oh, I tell you what, it's going to be a real good one, I'll say you that.
Could you give me a few little facts about Hell is Real?
No, I can't do that, so what I am going to do instead is I'm going to
stop talking like that, and we're going to do the intro properly this time, John.
Fine, okay.
Please, somebody help! There's a thing called Hell is Real, and I don't know a ding-dang thing about it!
Wait, the people are clambering. They're calling for aid about Hell is Real.
Gondor is calling for aid about Gondor, the information.
The beacons are lit!
The beacons are lit, and they are lit with the fires of hell.
They're
is
lit.
Real.
Disco music and Gandalf, like, crumping.
Okay, for real. This is the intro of the episode. This is episode 13. We are going to talk
That's
about
right.
Hell is Real,
13.
The rivalry.
Who wears number 13 on the crew?
Currently, I actually don't think we have a number 13. I'm fairly certain. This is episode 13. We're going to talk about Hell is Real. We were joined by my lovely wife, M.
This is the Yao Yaboa minus one episode.
The Yao Yaboa minus one episode. My lovely wife, M, is joining us. Say hello.
Hi.
Here she
Hi.
Is. We're going to talk about Hell is Real, the rivalry that we all know is coming up this weekend between FC Cincinnati and the Columbus Crew. John, before we get to that, do you have any rules that you want to discuss?
I also do want to ask Em how she ended up in the Crooniverse with us.
Oh, yeah.
I ended up here via my own choices and not a curse.
Right. John, as we all know, is not cursed to be here.
Famously not cursed.
I didn't cast a spell on him. Did you fall through a portal behind the Applebee's, or did you get through here through another means of vocation?
So I'm actually a resident of the Blue Universe for the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Okay.
Not to be confused with the Blue Universe, which is about cartoon dogs.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I was...
Did, like, the planets align and there was, like, a crossover for a little bit?
Well, it might have involved, like, some symbols on the ground and, like, a
It was probably the eclipse.
Yeah, the eclipse, that's when they crossed over. I gotcha. Okay, so, you know what, that's actually a really good idea. Maybe during the off-season we'll do Into the Blue Universe. We'll do a few episodes about the Blue
Jackets.
Yeah,
we gotta do Into the Blue Universe, and we gotta venture into the Zogniverse a little bit.
Oh, we gotta do the Zogniverse episode.
What about the Blue Universe?
That's an entirely different kind of podcast.
That's a podcast that we'll do, Em, you and me.
Yeah, so, just you guys can do that.
And as a newer resident in the Crooniverse, which we should be able to get you back pretty soon.
Back to the Blue Universe.
Or you'll have to wait for the next eclipse, which will be a while.
A very long time. You'll be trapped
here
in the
Crooniverse. Maybe you can do like a Venus transit. Maybe that'll be a big enough hole for you to slip through.
Okay.
So I have a thing that I like to do where I pitch three improvements to American soccer, because I think we try too much to be like European football, you know? So I have some suggestions on how we can really Americanize and make soccer our own. I have three options for you, and I want you to tell me which one you like the best. So the first one, pretty simple, It's called Junior Overtime, and any overtime, like shootouts or whatever, is replaced by a team of young kids that come out for the allotted time, like the team that they come out with at the start of the match.
Oh, is it? So it's like Timbits hockey, like in between periods where they have the little kids play hockey.
Except there's actual weight on it, and it matters.
Except that the fate of the actual team is determined by these little kids.
Yes.
I mean, isn't that what Timbits hockey is all about?
Yeah, actually, the team that wins the Timbits hockey big, they get an extra half of a goal, but they never get another half of a goal, so it's never on the scoreboard.
Yeah, it never matters.
Yeah, and if they win three times in a row, the other team is beheaded.
Jesus.
Pretty dark.
That is really dark. All right, hit me with your next one, bud.
The second I call positive possession. So what it is you have a ball, and it's magnetic, and it's all positively charged. And then each of the players have shoes on that are also positively charged.
Oh, so it's just like really hard to kick the ball?
Yes. So it's constantly getting propelled away from you.
Okay. I was just imagining this is going to be like a static electricity problem. Like every time you kick the ball, it zaps you a little bit. Like when you rub your socks on the carpet.
I mean, you could do that. I think that that might be interesting for another concept.
Yeah, I'm giving you free ideas
for another one. Static shock torture elements.
Torture.
Yeah, so everyone wears like a dog collar, like one of those bark collars, and then ball goes in the net, the opposing team, your team gets shocked.
Oh, that's wicked.
No, that's horrible.
I do like the magnet soccer. That's pretty
good. I think that could really accelerate the sport, and like depending on the strength of the magnets, you could maybe get some air going and stuff like that.
John, can I ask you, do the goalkeepers also have this problem with their gloves, or do they have normal gloves?
I feel like
do they have negatively charged gloves, so they're like magnet hands that make it easier to catch the ball?
I think what they have is they have magnet hands, but they're electromagnet hands, so they can turn them on to have the ball come towards them, or turn them off and be able to grab it. Or it could be positively charged still, and then they can like create a force field with their hands, you know?
Well, that's pretty wicked. Okay, hit me with your third one.
The last one is called Colin the Cavalry. And so you know how there are 11 players on the field?
That is correct.
What if one of those players, or more, up to you, was a horse?
This one's right up M's alley.
Now we're talking.
So you can have a horse on the field, and then someone can ride the horse. And maybe you give them a polo stick, too.
So, hold on. This is an addition.
One of your players.
Oh, so it's you. Okay, so this does the horse and the person count as one entity? Or is it like the horse is a person, and then also the player is a person?
The horse is a person, and also the player is a person.
So you have to pull off two guys in order to get this person on.
Well, you could have the person come on and off the horse, you know? Or you could attach a chariot to the horse.
You can?
Yeah, why not?
Well, I mean, why not? Because, like, what if it's against the rules? I mean,
There's a legality for attachments to the horse.
Does the horse get a jersey?
Yeah, of course.
Oh.
You're gonna know whose team it's on.
What are the rules about handballs with horses?
Because they don't got
they
hands.
They don't have any hands. So it's just all good all the time. If they kick it. Mm-hmm. Is the horse allowed to score a goal?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
It's a full fledged member of the team.
Okay. That might be one of the weirdest ones that you've given me. So.
They
need no rule that says a horse can't play basketball.
Yeah, so now we're making it explicit that they can play soccer. So I think that really adds, it adds something really unique to the Americas.
Wasn't there an Air Bud soccer movie? I'm pretty sure that was a
There's an Air Bud movie thing. For every sport.
It might have been Air Buddies.
Air Buddies. What is Air Buddies?
Air Buddies is like, it's like Air Bud, but there's more puppies and... You know,
welcome to the Air Bud universe.
Is it Son of Air Bud? Is that like...
I don't know the lore of the Air Buddies.
Oh, okay. I was assuming
they
did.
I think they might be. I don't know.
Well, we will never know, I suppose.
They talked.
Air
Bud didn't talk, but the Air Buddies do talk?
They talk to each other. The humans can't understand them.
Oh,
they talk
okay.
To each
so they
other.
Talk in okay. dog language.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That, I guess that's acceptable. That's still weird. Anyway, okay, well, which of these are we going to pick? of these new rules.
Yeah, which one do you think is the best?
I think I know obviously which one you're going to pick.
So, I like this. I really like the horse rule, but I think it would be pretty difficult. You would have to hire a guy to like clean up after the horse at all times.
Oh, yeah, what if the horse does a poopy on the field?
That's part of the game now.
That's
you gotta avoid
hazard.
It.
That's a hazard. Okay, are they allowed to clean it off like with a Zamboni machine in the
yes.
middle of the game?
You can do that at halftime. The court gets cleaned.
Okay. I honestly, yeah, I think I'll pick the horse one too. That one's pretty funny. That one's really funny.
All right.
What is that one called, John?
It's called Colin the Cavalry.
Colin the Cavalry. Okay, that was a good name too. I really like that name. Okay. We gotta get down to the actual content of the episode. This is why everyone's here.
Why does everyone tell me that HE double hockey sticks is for realsies?
Because they're trying to save your eternal soul, John.
They keep coming up to me and they keep telling me, "Aw, heck is so actual." They keep telling me that.
Well, I'll tell you this, heck is also plausible, which is the Crew 2 game versus Cincinnati 2. So there's that as well. But let's talk about the history of...
They keep coming up to me, Wayne, and they keep telling me that Netherworld is existent. The Netherworld's existent.
Uh-huh.
That's what they keep saying. They keep saying that the Abyss is bona fide. That's what they keep telling me.
Look, how many more do you have of these?
They keep telling me that the Inferno is factual. That's what they keep saying.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about Hell is Real.
To me, Way. They keep coming right up to me, Way, and they keep telling me that Hades is palpable. That's what they keep saying to me.
I've heard that Purgatory is
Oh my god, stop, both of you. I gotta do the actual episode.
Go ahead.
Okay. Jesus. Okay.
Dream last right. night, and a woman dressed in all black, she came up to me and she opened her mouth to the size of a 12-story building, and a little Christ. Gumball came out of there, and I cracked that sucker open, and it had a little fortune in there, like a fortune cookie. You know what it told me? It told me Tartarus Way. That's what they said is non-fictional. That's what it said on there.
This is, oh my god. Okay, good stuff. All right. The Hell is Real story starts all the way back in the 90s. Okay, before FC Cincinnati wasn't even thought up. Okay,
what year?
I couldn't nail down an actual year. But
whatever year it was, that's the year I was born.
I know. Jimmy Harlston, a Kentucky farmer and real estate magnate, decided that he wanted to put up some billboards. He decided he wanted to put up some billboards advertising the second most popular religion in the world as if nobody had ever heard of the big man JC. Okay? He wanted to get the word out for this underground little operation that they've
Justin
got going
Kimberlake?
On. Yeah, that's the one.
Can we leave that in? Is that blasphemous?
I don't care. We can blaspheme on this podcast. It's just a little... I'm not concerned about making the Pope angry. Anyway,
we want to get him on the podcast, dude.
Yeah, we'll have the Pope on for
I'm
sure.
I'm going to tweet at Pope Francis and say, hey, big PC.
John, I'll say this. PF. If you can get the Pope on this podcast, I'll give you $1 million.
This is for $1 million, Mr.
For $1 million. Okay, in 2004.
I'll buy you a pack of Quest chips if you hop on the pod.
Just every episode. He interrupts me all the time.
Start talking and I'm not done with my pick
in 2004 yet. John, how would I ever know that you're done with your thing, because you always like wait 20 seconds and then come up with another idea and then you start doing it again.
It would be more it's obvious if you could see my face. That would make
just,
it easier.
You're just one long string of jokes. Okay, in 2004 Jimmy Harlston contacted Ohioans Bob and Nancy Hall, who had farmland that they own next to Interstate 71, which connect Columbus and Cincinnati. Okay, he proposed at least two billboards that would be built on their land. One that was consisted of the Ten Commandments and some questions about eternal life, like where do you go when you die and stuff like that. And the other one,
Columbus, Ohio.
You go to Columbus directly. And then the other
you
one
actually go to the Crooniverse if you're bad.
If you're bad, yeah, that's why we're here. The other billboard just said, "Hell is real," with the emphasis putting on hell because he put the H in red. And so it's like a big red H, with, and the rest of the letters are white. That was put up in 2004, okay? And it instantly became like a landmark in the state because of how ridiculous it is. And everyone loves this sign for no particular reason, just because of how absurd it is. I think, John, you even told me that there was a band that you listened to that recorded like a music video or something in front of it.
Yes, I have it. Hold on. I have a screenshot of it because I was like, I need to remember who this was.
Oh, you should put that. Post that to the Twitter when we post this episode for sure.
I will.
It's a very interesting phenomenon how everyone just really loves this this sign for no reason.
I have to get past my divorced dad's card game order. Hang on.
Editing John here. The band I was looking for is Friday Pilots Club, and one of the songs that features this sign is Better With. It's just like a little animation on Spotify.
So the next tick on this journey is May of 2015. FC Cincinnati was formed, and they played their first game at Nippert Stadium at the University of Cincinnati. Okay, over the next couple of years, support for FC Cincinnati would grow as the team gained moderate success in the USL. But the combination of being a very new team and also being a USL team caused them to kind of have like this little brother status to the big boy, the Columbus Crew, right? They've been around since the 90s. They've won a cup in that time. Big team in Ohio is obviously the Crew, and then like little boy Cincinnati, right? But all of that changed when they played their first game against their first MLS team, which was the Crew. On June 14th, 2017, the Columbus Crew began their Open Cup run with a game against newcomers to the Ohio soccer world, FC Cincinnati. It was a very humid day. Morning thunderstorms in Cincinnati, but nevertheless, 30,000 people showed up for this historic game, a game that would ignite the rivalry in the MLS. In the MLS, I think it's the best rivalry in the league. It would set Cincinnati and Columbus on a journey to success. The first game, it actually seems really one-sided if you look at the stats. The Crew took 19 shots and had 60% possession during that first game. But they actually lost the game 1-0 to Cincinnati, which like cements the rivalry in its place. David beat Goliath, man. That's how it goes. But that's just round one, baby. Okay. Since then, over the past 7 years, the Crew and Cincinnati have played a total of 14 times, and the Crew have a winning record by a landslide with 7 wins, 4 draws and 3 losses. They are absolutely taking Cincinnati into the dumpster, and then they're taking them out of the dumpster, and then they're putting them into the toilet bowl, and then they're giving them a swirly, and then they're taking them back out and putting them back in the dumpster, John.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That sounds like they're doing well.
They're handily winning this rivalry is what I would
say. You love to hear it. You love to hear that they're doing that thing.
Over the course of the rivalry, the Crew have scored 30 goals, and Cincinnati has only scored 17. The Crew naturally have 4 out of the top 5 goal scorers in the matchup, which includes Jossi Zardes, Lucas Celarayán, rest his peace. I'm kidding, he's not dead, he's just in Saudi Arabia. Miguel Berry and Pedro Santos. Cincinnati has Lucho Acosta, so that's good for them. He's scored like 5 goals for them in this rivalry. The Crew actually had streaks where they didn't lose for 5 straight matchups through 2019 and 2020. And they also had another streak where they didn't lose 4 in a row in 2021 and 2022. Over the course of the rivalry, the Crew have been far and away the better club. They've won 2 MLS Cups since Cincinnati has entered the league. But Cincinnati does have a little bit of hardware of their own, John. They have 3 whole wooden spoons that they have in their collection.
Oh, wow, delicious.
Yeah, they can cook up all of their chili with their wooden spoons.
Have a little bit of Panera.
The most significant game that the two have played against each other, and actually the only time that they met in the playoffs was just last year. I've talked about this game, but I want to talk about it again just because I want to rub it in. We all know that the Crew went on to win the game 3-2 and then went on to win their third cup. Thank you very much. They won 3-2 with a miraculous comeback after being down 2-0 in the first half. Some very smart substitutions by Nancy brought Gressel and Ramirez on the field, and they battled back to tie the game and force extra time. Now, in the first half of that extra time, it was a lot of shots, but not a lot of production, right? Not a lot of very good chances. But, like, 2 minutes before the game is about to end, man, Kevin Molino, I'm so sorry I said anything bad about you. Kevin Molino gives this beautiful chip cross from the top of the 18 all the way over to Cucho, who's, like, right in front of the net. But instead of taking the shot, taking the header into the goal, he crosses it back over the goal to Christian Ramirez to easily tap in and seal the deal. You'd love to see it, right? So that is where the last time that these two teams met was total victory for the Crew, an incredible comeback, and like probably the most devastating defeat that FC Cincinnati has ever faced in their lifetime, okay? That is where this rivalry currently stands going into the game this weekend. So to say things are a little bit heated is probably an understatement. There's not a lot of stuff with this rivalry. The rivalry is a little short, right? Because FC Cincinnati only came in the league in 2019. So they've only been around for 5 years. But to kind of pad the time, I wanted to share with you guys some of my favorite completely unhinged FC Cincinnati tweets. If you would be amenable to that.
I would thank you if you would.
These things have become copy pastas in the Crew sphere, so I really enjoy them. Sadly, I couldn't find the original author for two of these tweets, so I'm imagining they were probably deleted at some point. But nonetheless, they have been preserved. So I want to start with one of my favorites, which is an FC Cincinnati fan tweets angrily, "We're better than them. Our coach is better. Our fans are better. Our capos and drummers are better. Our stadium is better. Our city is better. It's infuriating we can't get the results to match it." They tweeted that, I think, during the Caleb Porter era. So the coach being better did kind of make sense. Caleb Porter's not awesome, but very funny.
That's some harsh copium they're chugging there.
Incredible copium. The next one is incredibly good. This is a recent one. I think this came after the Eastern Conference final. "Constantly mad whenever I turn on a Crew game and they have him managing them. We suffered for years, and when we finally reached the top of the league, they are the only team above us. God doesn't smile on the MLS." That last line is my favorite one.
God doesn't smile on the MLS.
It's really incredible stuff.
What, dude, a truly insane thing to say.
Okay.
It's really not that deep.
It really isn't. But I love how like insane these people get about this stuff. So here, okay, this one's my favorite. It was tweeted in July of 2022, which was right after the Crew won a 2-0 game against Cincinnati. This account tweeted, "I want Columbus to feel the pain I've felt since 2019. I want it more than anything. They keep their club despite being a terrible fan base. They deserve nothing of what they're getting. I want it taken from them inch by inch. Not today, but hopefully soon."
Oh my God.
It's like just inhaling an entire bottle of copium in one fell swoop.
I mean, just relax a little. It's honestly,
it's truly incredible.
You got to take a huge chill pill, my guy.
Really, really fantastic stuff.
That's a lot.
It really is a lot, isn't it? They're very angry people. And that's why I'm so glad that I'm on this side of the fence, because I don't have to I don't tweet stuff like that. You know, it's a little intense for me, but having to look at your, like, the people next to you, like, freaking out like this, I'd be like, oh, God, are you kidding me? Good Lord. Give it a break.
Maybe the people in Cincinnati just need to look at the good things they do have. Like? Don't they have Kings Island?
I don't know, do they?
I think they do. And then that one grocery store called, like, Jungle Gyms that has all the wacky
That's
shit
true.
In
they
it.
Do have some wacky stuff there. But they have to deal with, they have Skyline. That's, like, their main source of nutrition. It's awful. They don't even have an airport. Their airport is actually in Kentucky.
That's why they're so angry, is that all they get is not melted shredded cheese to go on top of their chili.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, they're so angry because they have the world's worst chili. Okay, so that's all I have about the Hell is Real matchup, John. Do you want
Hell
to...
Hell truly is real.
It really is real. And for Cincinnati, it's a little bit more real than it is for us, thankfully.
That seems to be the case.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So usually when the Hell is Real game is here, you always get, like, a cool t-shirt.
I do.
Do you have any predictions or, like, things that you want on the t-shirt?
Oh, well, I usually get the one that comes off of the TIFO that they end up doing every year. Because Supporter Supply has, and I really like this recent trend. They haven't done it for very long, but they will take TIFO that is for, like really like important games. Like, they did one for the final, and they did one for Hell is Real last year, and then 2 years ago as well. And I have a couple of those. They're really nice. I hope that they come up with something very good. TIFO always does really good work. They did one for the game against Monterrey. John, you remember that? The first leg? And we really liked that one.
I do remember that. Yeah.
I'm hoping, and TIFO Sweat has been tweeting about, you know, like, hey, we're, you know, come out and volunteer and do some painting. And they've been doing it for like a week or so now, and I think that they're going to be done here in a second. I think they're going to have some really good stuff for the end of the week.
TIFO is an organization.
It is. It's like a loose group of volunteers that like design and put together the TIFO that is put up. The group is called TIFO Sweat, and then the actual thing is called a TIFO.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Actually, this is a little bit of a spoiler for a future episode, but I did manage to get a hold of the director of TIFO.
Oh,
the guy who, like, does all the organization for it, and he said he would probably come on an episode here in the future. So I'm hoping we'll be able to get him on soon.
Incredible.
So I think that'll be a fun episode. I'm really excited to see what TIFO has coming forward. I think it was 2022. The TIFO that they did was it was like Rock'em Sock'em Robots. And Cucho was punching the Cincinnati the Cucho robot was punching the Cincinnati robot. It was a really good one. I really like that one. I hope they do something similar like that. And it would be very appropriate considering one of the Cincinnati players got in a fight with a professional boxer the other week.
Oh.
Yeah, he got in a fight with a professional boxer and he got his jaw broken, so he's not playing.
Oh, fine, yeah. Sir.
Oy, it was I just don't know how you managed to do that. It's remarkable. So that's what all I have against or about Hell is Real. So, John, what do you say we take a little bit of a break, and then we come back, we talk about the Monterrey game, and then we review the Hell is Real game coming up. Sound good?
Let's do that thing. Yeah.
All right, we will do that right now.
Hey, what's up? It's me, the Zog, here from the 90s. Check out my Tamagotchi. I'm here to tell you about Into the Crooniverse, a podcast that you're currently listening to. If you love this totally tubular podcast, you should go ahead and go to socials at Instagram and Twitter at CrooniversePod, or send an email at intothecrooniverse@gmail.com. Whoa, check out my stretchy Armstrong. Heck yeah, dude. You know what would be totally rad? If you rated the podcast on your podcast platform of choice. Pogs. I love the 90s.
You
Okay, we're back here at the second part of the episode.
Good warping, dude.
Yeah, I had to slam on the brakes there so we didn't go too far through the Kroniverse.
You never want to go too far before your mind is prepared. Lose yourself to madness that way.
For sure. Let's talk about the game against Monterrey. Now, this is a while ago. It was...
Crew came out, what, 4-0?
No, it wasn't 4-0. It was 3-1.
Oh, I must have forgot because the Crew managed to score every goal of that game.
Yeah, they did. They scored every goal in the game, which is truly a remarkable feat, but not exactly
including
great.
The one against themselves.
Including the run against themselves, yeah. So let's just go through the timeline, right? Let's go through it. The first thing that FOTMOB has listed is Darlington Nagbe getting that yellow card for that handball. John, do you remember that?
I do. I remember being very angry about that because what call
baffling.
Is that?
Baffling.
Yellow card is insane.
I don't understand. I truly don't understand what the logic was about it because, like, the whole point of the, like, I thought the rule was if your hands and your arms are, like, within your torso's silhouette, right? Like, if they're close to your body and it was, like, going to hit your chest anyway, right? And it's, like, not out from your hands. Like, it's not out from you. He's trying to curl himself up and, like, protect himself from the ball hitting him square in the chest, you know what I mean? From, like, 5 yards out.
Yeah, so, I know exactly what you mean.
I don't know what you're supposed to do about that. Like, how do you avoid this penalty? I don't get it. Just a weird call, honestly. And then, like, there was a Monterrey player that did the exact same thing on the other side of the field, and he was within the 18-yard box. And so if you're going to give a penalty on that one, it should have been a PK. But he didn't call anything, so I don't get it. And I think
it's
this
called
guy...
the CONCACAF.
Yes, that is what it is. We got CONCACAF. That's what happened. So very early on, the own goal is scored. The Monterrey player like chips it like with a very good through ball, right? And then another player like kind of bounces, like heads it over Schulte, and it just like bounces off the crossbar, and you know Evan Tuberco is like going straight in, and he can't stop his momentum. He just like taps it in, you know, with his body. So I'm not really mad about that one, but
yeah, no hard feelings there. That was a good play. And what do you, if you stop yourself, you have the guy who's coming up behind you is just
he was like right behind him, so there was no way that ball wasn't going in. So I don't really think it. Actually, you know what? I think this is a better result because now that guy doesn't get credit for the goal. That's the best way to do it. If you're going to get scored on, score on own goal so that nobody gets credit for it.
We've had no goals against us from an opposing team.
Yeah, that's a good stat.
On yourself.
Yeah, that's a very good stat, actually. I like that stat quite a lot. So then not a ton happens in the first half. I will say that Monterrey came out swinging in the first 30 minutes. It was a lot of heat. And actually in the stats, you can see Monterrey actually had more possession with 55% more of possession, which is like quite a lot for the Crew because the Crew usually managed to get a lot more possession. So that's pretty surprising. Then like right before halftime, I don't know what happened, but the Monterrey goalkeeper just like gets impatient and he just like throws the ball out to like nobody. Morris comes in and intercepts it and just hits one to the far post and scores right before halftime. So I don't know what his plan was.
It changed the entire energy of the game.
Oh, it really did.
One play.
It really did. It totally changed the entire landscape of the game as well, because if the game had stayed 1-0, Monterrey actually would have won because they would have scored an away goal and the Crew didn't score any away goals. And you get like slightly more credit for an away goal than you do for home goals. So the fact that they scored that one goal meant that Monterrey had to win the game outright. Like, they couldn't tie and still advance. So they had to score two more goals in order to win the aggregate overall. So just that one goal was very powerful with that. Coming right out of halftime, only 5 minutes out of halftime, Diego Rossi scores off of a pass from Russell Rowe, which was, I want to point this out, was really, really incredible because Cucho manages to feint and get two defenders to follow him, and it opens up a wide open path for Diego Rossi to just come in and tap one. Which, that, you never get to see stuff like that. It's incredible to watch it happen. Like, you talk about that happening in theory all the time, but then it never happens on the actual game, and just watching it play out was a really, really beautiful thing to watch.
Absolutely. It was nice to see Cucho's impact, not just as a striker.
Yeah, even striker, out off the ball. Even off the ball, yeah.
Just his aura itself helped score the goal.
The massive, like, gravitational weight of his energy is what's causing the players to mess up.
That's why the ball just goes to him.
Oh, for sure.
So the pure gravitational weight he provides.
So here's another crazy thing. After that goal from Diego Rossi, the Monterrey just start taking shots, man. So many shots. And it was really weird to see the crew actually, like, play pure defense for once. Really kind of jarring to watch that happen. To see,
also play it well.
Very well. To see five in the back, very strange. Very, very weird. Monterrey took a total of 22 shots that game. I'm pretty sure most of them came from the second half.
They were just belting balls at the crew, and Schulte and the defense were incredible.
Schulte was on fire.
We've been asking, hey, where's the defense? Hey, you know, we've been worried. We've been talking about, when do we hit the panic button? And the crew just said, not today.
Not today. Actually, today is the opposite of the panic button. We hit the gas button today. That's what we do. Because the crew are the first team to win both legs against a Mexican team in this semifinal. This has never happened before. So after a lot of peppering shots, Russell Rowe comes in the 85th, and then 5 minutes later scores a goal off of a really good through ball by Alexander Matan. Really, really good through ball, and actually a really good curving shot by Russell Rowe. I'm really glad to see that he's getting it. I think I'm gonna apologize to Russell Rowe. I was saying some nasty stuff about him early in the season. I was saying he wasn't ready. I think he's here. He's here, and I think what it is that he needs to come off the bench. That's his position.
For the record, I've been saying I'm a fan of Russell Rowe since day one.
Yeah. I'll give it to you. But I think here's the thing, I think he can't start
about soccer. Okay.
Oh yeah.
And when I endorse a player, you know that they're going to perform. You know it.
Yeah.
I have the experience. Uh-huh. I have the knowledge.
Uh-huh.
And most of all, I have the experience.
Yeah. So much experience. You had to say it twice.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's more useful coming off of the bench late in a game in order to secure another goal like he did against Monterrey. I don't think he's as effective as a starter. Does that make sense? I think that's
he
the
does
key.
Work as a booster rocket, like just a little bit of nitrous right at the end.
For sure.
He has a fantastic offense. I think
he's got the speed. He can cook, man. He can cook.
I just think when you're on the back leg, he doesn't provide as much.
No, he doesn't provide any defense at all. Like, there's no way for him to play any kind of defense. So he can't, like, Cucho will contribute to the defense a little bit. Russell Rowe, absolutely none. You are not getting anything from him. So the last, not the last significant thing, but the next significant thing that happens is, like, almost at the end of half, like, at the end of the game, in stoppage time, Ramirez goes up for a ball right on the edge of the 18-yard line, and he comes down and gets He gets suplexed by the goalkeeper.
He does. The goalkeeper just slams him into the ground. He grabs his neck. He RKOs him. It's nuts.
I love that shot of Ramirez getting up. He's like, what the heck? Did that actually just happen? Did I just get suplexed?
Shock is a hell of a drug.
It's really incredible. And then so the referee initially calls a foul, but no card. And then he goes to the monitor, and then he calls not only he maintains the foul. I don't think he gives a card for it, but he gives a penalty for it, which Ramirez then misses, which makes me very sad. I was very sad. Well, he didn't miss. It got blocked. So it's not technically his fault. The goalkeeper just did a good job on that one. So, you know,
we'll let him off the hook. It was a solid block. Yeah.
It was a solid block.
It was
block.
A shame. We would have loved to see a 4-1 win.
Yeah. I just wanted Ramirez
to
get that goal.
Of 6-2. That would probably have been
the biggest victory of margin that an MLS team had ever achieved against a Liga MX team, for sure. So then that's the end of the game. The game ends like basically immediately after that that penalty is taken. And then weirdly, after the game, they're showing the camera, like all the crew players are like celebrating, they're high-fiving, they're yeah, woo! And then they cut to the Monterey players and they are all swarming the referee like bees. And they are talking so much shit that one of them gets a red card. And he didn't even have any other cards. He just gets a straight red for talking shit at the end of the game.
A straight red for disrespect.
That is one of the harshest penalties I've ever seen. But honestly, like coming up to the referee and complaining that hard at the end of the game, you deserve it, dude. I don't know how this will impact this guy. I don't know if he like won't be able to play the next like round of the CONCACAF Champions Cup, which will be next year for them. So I have no idea how that impacts him. But like, just guy adding insult to injury at that point really is what it is.
That
I felt really bad.
Also, was not, you know, super.
It wasn't as bad. Yeah, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. It was really like kind of strange. They got CONCACAF'd on the Nagby penalty, but beyond that, it was like fairly normal. It was kind of weird.
It seemed like he didn't want to deal with with anything that was going on.
No, he didn't. He was like, I'm done with all of this. We're done today. So that's all we have for the Monterey game. It was a good game. I believe the next game for the CONCACAF Champions Cup will be, I think it's June the 1st. Which is a Saturday. Or maybe it's the second. I don't know. I think it's the first weekend in June. But it will be a one leg game, John. It's all or nothing. This one game against Pachuca in Pachuca.
All or nothing. It's all about it.
Yep. And I really want the crew to bring it. I really want them to win this game because that will only be the second time an MLS team has won this cup. And that will also punch a ticket for them to the Club World Cup, which I believe is next year. So they'll get a spot in the FIFA Club World Cup if they win this next game. John, let's quickly talk about Hell is Real, and we'll give predictions.
Let's do it.
We haven't had to do that for a bit because hasn't been a regular season game. FC Cincinnati, I believe, is coming off of a win against Orlando.
Where was the win?
It was in Orlando.
Oh wow, that's actually impressive.
It was, yeah,
I was gonna do a hard dunk and I was gonna be like, yeah, did they score every goal in the game?
No, they did win their last game against Orlando 1-0, actually was what it was. I think they scored in like the first minute of the game. I remember seeing that on Twitter, which is crazy. So they are going to be playing the crew this coming Saturday. I'm going to be smoking a whole brisket for it. It's going to be awesome. I think this game is going to be a total... It's going to be chaos from start to finish. I believe it's going to be... Oh, man, what am I going to say? Or no, actually, John, I'm going to let you go first, because I always go first. What are you going to predict?
All right, let's see. I mean, there's a lot of... I'm not entirely sure. My nutso prediction, and I don't think this is the one I'm going to go to, but is 3-2. That's like what my gut thinks. It'll just be insane.
But and your actual prediction?
My actual prediction is going to be, let's say 2-0 Crew.
Oh, that's bold. That's bold. I am going to predict 3-2. That is going to be my prediction. 3-2 is going to be what it is. Hun, what do you think it's going to be?
2-1 Crew win.
Okay. That's also very reasonable. Especially since they haven't scored a lot of goals this year. I was really hesitant. I kind of want to say 1-0, but I want it to be more exciting than that. I want it to be 3-2 because that'll be absolutely crazy.
1-0 is probably the most likely, but you know,
yeah, it really is the most likely. But I think it's going to be 3-2. John, you said 2-0. M said 2-1, but that M doesn't count because she's not on the board.
If she gets it right, I get her points.
Yeah.
Okay. M says you can have her points, so that's fine. Go ahead.
Excellent.
So that's it for episode 13. The next game, or the next one we'll record, will be this weekend after the Hell is Real game, so hopefully we'll know what's going on there. We are going to record a bonus episode, actually.
I'm sure you guys are wondering, what's Em doing here? She's not really, you know, you're not calling on her too much. That's because we have a special bonus episode.
We're going to put out the bonus episode probably about the same time that we're going to put out this episode. So it'll still be in the same feed. It'll just, you know, we'll say it's a bonus. It'll say bonus episode, and then we'll listen to that. So we're going to record that right after we're done here. John, do you have anything to say? And Em, do you have anything to say?
Isn't long enough, it'll be tacked on.
Nah, I'm sure it'll be fine. We record short episodes before. So it'll be a bonus episode. Do you guys have anything to say to the people before we leave? Hun, do you want to start?
I miss Celerion.
Don't we all? Don't we all miss him? I'm so sad. We miss him deepest parts of our heart. We really do. John, do you have anything to say to the people before we leave?
You know, I think I do.
Here we go.
Make sure that when you travel, you have the proper adapters for whatever electronics you want to charge before you get to your end location.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And make sure that you bring travel size toothpaste, because if you bring regular size, they'll take it right from you at TSA. Unless you're going by car, in which case, bring as much dang toothpaste as you like.
Well, one last thing I have to throw in there.
Okay.
We have the Hell is Real rivalry.
Yeah.
But when are we going to have the Grandpa's Cheese Barn rivalry?
Oh. That should be what it's called. Well, no, the Hell is Real does make more sense, but boy, God, the Grandpa's Cheese Barn rivalry. You know what?
I'm going to need an explanation.
Go ahead.
So we have the Hell is Real billboards everywhere.
Yep.
But also, there is a place called Grandpa's Cheese Barn.
Mm-hmm.
Is it in
Amish country.
Oh. No, that one's Heine's.
Oh, no, that's Grandpa's Heine's Cheese Barn is up by Sandusky then.
Yeah, I think it's in Port Clinton.
Yeah, it's in Sandusky.
There's a place called Grandpa's Cheese Barn in Port Clinton.
Which is up north, it's on the lake.
Yeah, and they have signs everywhere of like 90 different flavors of cheese and fudge. Have
fudge?
It's a barn.
Yeah, they have fudge and
when
cheese.
When I come to Ohio
yeah,
to see a good little game... We're gonna go get fudge.
We can go to Grandpa's Cheese Barn. It's not very far away.
Go to Grandpa's Cheese Barn.
We'll have
you on the podcast.
It's a totally reasonable drive from where
I just want a 3% discount. That's all I'm asking. We'll do a full ad spot.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, actually, you know what? I'm not joking. If there is a local business that wants to have an advertisement on our show, I will just do it. I don't even think we'd ask for money. I just think it'd be funny. All right, John, Do you have? Is there? You know what? I'm not going to give you any opportunity, John. You know what we say at the end of every episode? We say.
I do know.
We say.
Keep on zogging. God, we're so in sync. We're
so in sync. Good job.
I thought you were going to say, kiss your goalie square on the lips.
Oh, kiss your goalie square on the lips. We got to start using that. Ah, oh, shoot.